But if you will go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. I know you probably were there last night trying to get to sleep. But we're going to go back to it here again this morning. Amen. Just feels good to have a lot of saints out there to preach to this morning. Praise God. Praise God. There's an old worldly song that says, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And we don't want to wait till it's gone to say, oh, what did we have? No, we want to appreciate what we have right now and thank God for it. Bless it. And aid it along and help it as much as we can. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, and cymbals, and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with glory, even the house of the Lord. Praise God. Then, everybody said then.
Amen.
Then was the house. The house was filled with the cloud, and the house of the Lord, even the house of the Lord. I want to preach this morning about a need for a declaration. Amen. A declaration. And it may be a little bit early for this message. 4th of July is not here yet. But I want to make a declaration here this morning. And I want to help us all to see the importance of making a declaration. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, for these precious folks that are here this morning. Anoint your word and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. On July the 4th, 1776, the newly formed Congress of the United States, the brand new states, approved the final writing of the Declaration of Independence, and it was signed on August the 2nd, 1776. This declaration put into words the strong feelings that many people had, the prominent people, for the need for freedom. Need for freedom personally and need for freedom as a nation. And they literally laid down their lives, literally, their fortunes, and even faced death to the high belief that all men are created equal and we are created by God, and freedom is not given to us by government, but freedom is given to us by God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what makes America so great. Amen. And they were very excited about this truth that they believed so much that they were willing to declare it officially and verbally. I want you to get a hold of that this morning, officially and verbally. It was their belief that they were willing to die for. Amen. And the resulting glory of the Declaration of Independence and the war against England and the subsequent victory over England birthed the greatest nation on the face of the earth today. That's why we're here. That's why we have a great nation today, is because somebody made a declaration. And we are great economically. We used to be great spiritually. We are waning from that, and I pray a revival will take place. But something mighty and something awesome was birthed in this land when they made a declaration. Praise God. And the same truth is evident in the church this morning. The Old Testament church here that we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the Old Testament church that was built by Solomon, took many years to build, and the stones that went into the construction of this temple were fitted in the rock quarry. They were polished in the rock quarry, and then they were taken to the site of the temple, which was the city of David. And the entire building, the entire house of God was built in silence. There was no hammer, there was no saw, nothing was used on the site, but it was all built off-site and brought in as a reverence to the glory that was to come upon the completion of this temple. And our scripture this morning gives us the account of the building of the temple, and then the dedication of the temple, and the glory that filled it. I don't know about you, but I felt the glory of the Lord here this morning. And I still feel the presence of God here this morning. But I want to look at it here and just kind of go down and look at it and see how it applies to us. But the scripture says that it came even to pass, I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard. Praise God. And so when we look at this dedication before the glory of God came down, there was trumpeters and singers. And the Bible says that they did it as one. There was unity. There was a unity in the music. There was unity in the singing. And there was something, no doubt, that reverberated through every corner of the building. It didn't matter where you were. You could hear the trumpeters. You could hear all the instruments of music. And the Bible says they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord. Praise God. It crescendoed. It built to a mighty peak where the singers were singing and the musicians were playing, and it built, and I don't know how many was there in the band, so to speak. I don't know how many was actually involved in this, but I've got a feeling there was quite a choir that day. I've got a feeling that there was music and worship like they had never experienced before. And no doubt the people that were listening and the people that were there, you've probably experienced this before, that when something resonates with you in a song, if you're listening to it on the radio or you've got a cassette tape or something along that line and you're listening to music, all of a sudden you get goosebumps. Amen. Has anybody ever got goosebumps from a song? And all of a sudden that tingling feeling and emotion arises up within you. And I believe it came over everyone when they heard the sound of the music and the unity that permeated that place. Not only was there unity in their music and in their singing, but there was unity in their understanding and in their praise. Amen. Unity. Everybody said unity. Praise God. Unity. And I love to worship the Lord. I love to come to the house of God. This morning I've been lifted up in my spirit. Amen. Because I felt the presence of God as we were worshiping together in unity. Amen. And we lifted up our voices with musical instruments. And by the way, what you have right down in your throat here is a musical instrument. It is a stringed instrument, amen, that God gave to us so that we could worship Him. Amen. And I just love to come to the house of the Lord and to worship God and to give God praise. And David, I won't get off here on this, but David, the great king of Israel, he said that I may dwell. His desire was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Praise God. It was his desire to be in church. It was his desire to come and worship. And he could play and he could sing. And he loved to be in that place where we can be lifted up. The Bible says we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's not just because we've gathered together, but because we have expressed unity in worship and in praise. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when we get to the place where, you know, you've been there, we've been there many times, and I'm afraid sometimes we take it for granted, the opportunity that we have to come and worship God, the opportunity that we have to give God the praise that he really deserves, and then to feel the reciprocal presence of God as he comes back and touches us and moves upon us. There is nothing at all like the thrill of the Holy Ghost as it begins to move upon your life. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm jumping up and down on the inside this morning. Praise God, because I'm in the house of God. I'm back in the house of God this morning. And sometimes it can be overwhelming, and I'm sure that it was overwhelming to all the people that were there in the temple as they dedicated that beautiful temple unto God. And I've got a feeling that there is a difference, and I think I can show it to you from the scriptures here this morning. There's a difference in being moved in your flesh and in your mind, and to feel that feeling of emotion and the goosebumps and all of that. There's a difference in that and a move of God. Amen. Because once they get the rules lifted, the bars are going to be back open and the honky-tonks are going to be back open and people are going to go crazy and they're going to go wild and they're going to get caught up in the music and make fools out of themselves. And but there won't be a move of God. There won't be a move of God there because that's not where God dwells. Somebody ought to help me here this morning. But they worship the Lord. Amen. They lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord. And the Lord moved, but there was a declaration that had to be made first. And that declaration here says, "For he is good." They praise the Lord, "for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Praise God. My God is a good God. The Lord is good. Amen. Not only is he good, but his mercy endureth forever. Anybody has ever needed mercy?
Amen.
I've needed mercy many, many times. And I'm glad that God is not a God that never forgives, that holds a grudge or anything like that. But I'm glad that his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
I looked at that word mercy, and there's many different examples of mercy, different words that talk about the mercy of God. But the Bible talks about his tender mercies. Amen. His tender mercies. He's not a big, bad, mean God, but we serve a good God here this morning. And what I'm trying to do here this morning is to make a declaration. And if you want to write it down, that's okay. But it's written down in my heart this morning, a declaration that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. because when we make a declaration, something begins to move in the realm of the Spirit. You know, we can believe in freedom, but until we declare it and we're willing to fight for it, we don't have freedom. Just because we say we believe in freedom, it doesn't mean that we really believe in freedom. Amen. And we've got to put legs to our belief. Praise God. There's got to be something that takes place when we make a declaration of our belief. There's got to be a movement in that particular direction. And we're facing a time in our country where we may be persecuted. And I think we are being persecuted in a limited way for being in the house of God. And don't worry, we're not breaking any laws here today by being in church. I've checked it all out, talked with the chief of police, and he gave us an okay to worship God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's a little bit of sarcasm there. Amen. Because we're not going to worship God because the police chief gave us permission. Amen. He said, you're not going to have any trouble out of us. None of the churches are. And I knew that's the way it was, but I just wanted to clarify it. Amen. Unless somebody gets a big head and tries to arrest all of us. Amen. I'm going to call Bob. Amen. The chief of police. He said, call me Bob. Amen. So we've got a connection in high places here today. So we have permission. There's nothing holding us back here this morning. Praise God. We've got permission this morning, but more than permission, amen, we have a truth that we believe in. We have a truth that we are standing on. Amen. And the Bible says here, then. Everybody say that again. Then. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And so as they were singing and they were praising the Lord and they were getting excited about the music and the lyrics and all of the sounds of the trumpets and the cymbals and all of that, there was no move of God until they made a declaration. Praise God. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Amen. I think maybe it's time that when we wake up in the morning, we need to make a declaration. Hallelujah. I think it's appropriate when you show up to the job to make a declaration, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. It's going to be a good day in God. Amen. Wherever we go, and especially when we come to the house of God and we come to worship the Lord and praise the Lord, we ought to walk through the doors of the house of God, amen, and make a declaration, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. I'm not here because I have to be here. I'm not here this morning because somebody told me I've got to be here. Amen. I'm here today because I love God more than I love anything else. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I can do it at home by myself. Wrong answer. Go to the back of the class. Amen. There is a need for us to have unity. Amen. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that he's with us when we're alone. I'm not saying that, but there is something that God loves when we come together in unity and we worship him in unity and we make a unified declaration and we say, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. And we don't just do it as a homily. Amen. We don't just do it as a ritual, but we do it because it's in our heart. And we love God more than anything else. Amen. And we've got to have a temple that's filled with music and praise. But until we have a declaration that, as I've said, comes from the heart, it becomes just another temple. Now, I'm not asking you to do this, and I would discourage you from doing this, but if you went to many, many places that's called the house of God today, it would be music, there would be singing, there would be ministering from the Word of God, but there would be no move of God.
Amen.
It would be dead, it would be dry, it would be dull. And you say, why? Well, it's because it's become a ritual. And folks, we cannot afford to make our gathering together a ritual. Amen. But we must be free. We're free people here this morning. And you are free to come and worship God. Amen. And we are free this morning. There's nothing hindering us. Oh, the enemy hinders us sometimes. And sometimes we come to the house of God with troubles in our life, and those things hinder us. Amen. But we cannot get to the place where the hindrance stops us, and we just become another temple like every other temple. Praise God. There has to be a declaration. Amen. And this temple that we have this morning isn't designed like all other temples, but it's been designed by God to house the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. This building has never felt anything like it's felt since we came here. Praise God. Thank God for a move of God. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And the New Testament temple, it talks about that, Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I'm going to establish a New Testament church. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, if you'll turn there with me this morning. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went to a building. And that's all it was just a building, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord. There's the unity again. And in prayer and in supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And so they gathered together. 7 days they prayed, and they brought their supplications to the Lord. Now, please, please don't misunderstand me this morning. I am not discounting the value and the necessity of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. We must pray, and we must bring our supplications to God, and it must be a daily part of our life.
Amen.
Amen. Where we reach out to God and we listen back to see what the Lord would have to say to us back. And here they were for 7 days praying, and they were, you can imagine what it sounded like, the prayers of the saints of God as they gathered together in the upper room. But it went on for 7 days, and after 7 days, there was no move of God. It was just a business meeting. They had to have a business meeting to bring in another disciple, another apostle. And of course, Matthias was chosen, and he was chosen by the roll of the lots. Amen. We would call it casting the dice, amen, or picking straws. And you look at that and you would say, that's not really that spiritual, but you do a little study into casting of lots in the scripture, and the Bible says that when you cast lots and you're doing it in sincerity and in a serious matter, the Lord is always in the casting of lots. And that's Old Testament. There's no casting of lots in the New Testament except here before the church was born. So they were really in the Old Testament still until the church was birthed here in this upper room. And so they had prayer, they had supplication, and they had a business meeting. Amen. Now I know around here, and I'm saying this to be funny this morning, but I know every one of us here this morning can't wait until after January 1 so we can have our annual business meeting. How many's ever felt the Holy Ghost in our business meeting? Nobody. If you raise your hand, you're not telling the truth. Amen. Praise God. We've got to have these things, and it's very important, and we do our very best to keep up with all the latest rules and regulations and all of that. But I want you to know that's not and will not ever be a substitute for a move of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And so nothing was noised abroad. There was no anointing. There was no move of God. Just a room, just a temple, if you please. Just another place where people gathered together and business as usual. And I tell you, it was just silence as they put the pieces together, preparing for the dedication of this New Testament temple, praise God, which was not the building that they were in, but it was the temple of God, that we are now the temple of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And something inside me says that they were praising the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. I read here that they were all in one accord. And so there was unity, there was prayer, there was supplication. And, you know, I just use my imagination sometimes. You can use yours in another way. But I just got a feeling that while they were there up in the upper room, somebody was praying. And maybe they just said, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And maybe, you know, I've heard people pray, and I've heard them start singing while they're praying. Amen. I've prayed and sung in tongues. Amen. And we can do that. But somebody probably started humming, you know, for the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever. Amen. There's just something about it when you say those words. And maybe they said it again. For the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever. And the second time they sang it, they had their eyes closed and their face lifted to heaven. And then he started the third time. I'm just using my imagination here this morning. But the third time, somebody else chimed in with him. And there was two people now saying, for the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever. And there was something that began to move. There was a unity in praise. And another one got a hold of it. And maybe, well, I kind of doubt it, but maybe somebody had a harmonica. Amen. And they pulled it out. And somebody said, well, now that added to it here. I like that. Amen. I don't know if you like a harmonica. I like a good harmonica. Amen. And then as they were singing again and the harmonica was kicking in, somebody probably, Brother Isaac and Brother Mike, probably found an old plastic tub and turned it upside down and started getting a little bit of a beat going there on that plastic drum. Amen. And so it began to build, praise God, as they were in the upper room and they were seeking God. Amen. And the resonance, I think that there was a resonance that reached up to heaven. Now, I know this was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, but, you know, there's lots of prophecies in the Bible, lots of promises in the Word of God, but there's got to be a declaration of those promises for them to become a reality in our lives. And it says, Acts 2 and verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. Now, I'm using my imagination, but I don't think I'm really that far off. As that wind began to blow, I don't think that it was a wind of confusion. Amen. This morning we had some wind of confusion. It was up and down and around and all over the place. But I've got a feeling that when this mighty wind began to blow in this upper room, that there was a resonance to that wind. Amen. And maybe it chimed in with what the people were praying and praising God and reaching out to God. And maybe the wind, as it began to blow, you could hear it. Praise God. Y'all looking at me real funny. You can make up anything you want to make, but just give me the opportunity this morning to make up something I want to make up. And it joined together with them. Amen. There was a unity, not just now a unity of individuals, but now it was a unity of people and God. That's what we need this morning, folks. Well, praise God. That's what we've got to have when we come to the house of God. Amen. And finally, there appeared unto them, verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. There was still no mighty move of God, but there was this preparation for the move of God. Tongues of fire, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And it was, I just believe it was electric. I believe it was powerful. I believe the air was filled with expectation. Amen. Folks, when you come to the house of God, don't just find your place. Go ahead and find your place. Amen. But don't just sit down and make it another service. Amen. When you walk through the door of the church, my, God's in this place here this morning. And when you come through the doors of the church a year from now, or 2 years, or 10 or 15 years from now, there's got to be a declaration on your lips. Amen. That comes from your heart. I'm back in the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. And if we'll all do that together, I want you to know something miraculous will begin to take place among us. Otherwise, we're just going to be another temple on another corner. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'm not going to preach much longer, but I want to share something that I saw here. They began to speak with other tongues, and all of a sudden this was noised abroad, the Bible says. And people started coming and looking in to see what was going on here. And they didn't know what was going on. It was noised abroad. Nothing was noised abroad when they were in prayer and supplication. Right. Nothing was noised abroad as they were doing their business and all of that, but it wasn't until there was a move of God. And a move of God is as much my responsibility as it is God's, and yours as well. Amen. The pastor can't do it all. Amen. Church leaders can't do it all. But we've got to come together in unity. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come together in unity and worship God. I've got to worship God. I want to worship God and give God praise. Chapter 2, verse 7. These are the people that were looking out or looking in from the outside. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" They understood the only language they knew was Hebrew. "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And then it names the different nationalities and different tongues. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Persia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya, around Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, amen, they heard them speaking in tongues. What was the will of the Spirit through all of this? Now we've got to get a hold of this. They were speaking in other tongues. In reality, they were speaking languages by the power of God. They didn't make it up on their own. It wasn't taught to them by somebody that was trying to get them to speak in tongues. No, it was a move of the Spirit of God. But it came to me as I was looking at these scriptures, and something just touched me yesterday as I was building this message. What were they saying? What they were saying was the direct will of God. Because it was God that was speaking. It wasn't man that was speaking. It was God that was speaking. And so what was God wanting to express? What was it that God was pleased with and that God wanted to establish? I wished I could jump up and run around here this morning. But what was it that God wanted to establish in His New Testament church? Amen. In the Holy Ghost. They were praising God in the Holy Ghost, but let's look at it here. We hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we get a hold of something here this morning that it's the will of God for us to make a declaration? It's the will of God for us to make a declaration of the goodness of God and the wonderful works of God.
Amen.
The wonderful works of God. I love to hear the testimonies. I love to share the testimonies. Amen. Just excited about the wonderful works of God. I can't come into the house of God and leave my problems or bring my problems in. I've got to leave them at the front door, amen, because I'm in a place where I'm going to worship God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And so the will of God, it was no longer human intellect, it was no longer human power, but it was the Spirit of God expressing the will of God. A declaration, if you please, of the wonderful works of God. I want to ask you as I finish here this morning, is it just church to you? Is it just coming to a building on a corner? Is it coming to a favorite place? Well, or is it a declaration? Have you made a declaration? I'll tell you where we're at today. This is His day. Amen.
Right.
Let's stand together. This is His day. It was their day. In July the 4th, 1776, it was their day. They could have said, well, we believe in freedom, but we're not going to act upon it. We're not going to write anything down because England will put us on a hit list and we will lose our fortune. We can lose our lives because what we are doing is treason. It literally was treason.
Amen.
But they said, we want freedom more than we want our own life. We want freedom in the land. And they were willing to fight for it and all of that. From what I have read, almost all of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and many of them were wealthy businessmen, almost all of them ended up with no money in their pocket at the end of their lives. And there were some that literally gave their life so that we could gather here this morning to worship God. And there are many, many others that have shed their blood so that we could be here this morning. Praise God. Why take this opportunity and just make it another church on a corner? What we've got to do when we come is make a declaration. This is His day. I'm coming for Him. Praise the Lord. And we declare freedom. Somebody said freedom.
Freedom.
Liberty.
Liberty.
Justice.
Justice.
Righteousness.
Righteousness.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Wonderful works of God. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody got a harmonica here this morning? Did anybody bring a plastic bucket this morning? Anybody bring a juice harp? Oh my. Well, you brought something with you here this morning, and it's right here. You can exercise the music that's within you, and you can praise the Lord and declare the wonderful works of God. Can we give Him a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's been a big deal that's made of this, excuse me, and it is a big deal when people lose their lives because of a virus. But hear me this morning, and I'm not prophesying, but I know the way of life. Once coronavirus is gone, something else is going to come along. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to let something like this hinder me and say, well, we've got to take off. We've got to back up. No, we're not taking off. We're not backing up. Amen. We're moving forward. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. The river may be covered with ice, but we're breaking through the ice and we're going to go over and make a sneak attack on the enemy. That's what George Washington did. And it turned the tide. The men were literally, some of them were clothed in rags. Some of them had rags on their feet. And they crossed that cold river with ice on it in the middle of the winter and made a surprise attack, and it turned the tide of the war.
Amen.
Amen. If you've been beaten up by life and all you've got is some old tattered clothes, bring them on to the house of God. And when you walk in, say, I'm a free man. Praise God. I'm a free woman. I've come to make a declaration today. My God's a good God. I want to declare the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. Because it's true, and I believe it, and I've experienced it for myself. Amen. Let's lift our hands and love Him together. Can we do that? Can we just lift our hands and love God together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I give You thanks this morning. God, I give You praise. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory. Praise God. And if any of you came with a need this morning, I know we have many needs here this morning. But if you feel to come, we would like to pray with you and believe God, because my God is able. Amen. Lift your hands if you have a need this morning. There are some needs that are represented here this morning. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for the touch of your Spirit this morning. Thank you for healing. Thank you for victory. Thank you for the power of God and the presence of God. Thank you for the church. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that you filled us with. In Jesus' name, work your miracle. Work your purpose and your will. In the name of Jesus this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a chorus this morning. If anybody wants to join in unity, just sing as loud as you want to sing. Don't get too excited. Praise the Lord. Sing as loud as you want to sing. Clap as hard as you want to clap. Praise God as loud as you want to praise God. And I'll tell you what, there will be a move of God in your life. Let's sing this morning.